Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin. Please be aware that it's quite likely in the course of today's shiur for Daf Nun Ches, we're going to spill over beyond the Daf Yomi pace and include Daf Nun Tes Omid Aleph. The reason for that is that we will be in the middle of a discussion when we reach Daf Nun Ches Omid Beis, and it would not be to our advantage to stop it in the middle. So, that having been said, we note the Gemara three lines from the bottom of Nun Zayin Omid Beis, where we begin today's shiur. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note. The diamond marking, one of our series markings, will appear, and it indicates shnei mekoros, two sources, two Tanaic sources, shehuva'u benisayon lomar, they're presented in the Gemara in an attempt to say, ta'kofas kol ha'roish havi ha'kofa, hino machlokes tanoim. This is an issue we discussed during our previous shiur, and in effect, we're really continuing the topic so that in order to appreciate our discussion now, it is necessary to, of course, to have heard our previous daf. So without giving any lengthy introduction so as to not be overly repetitive for those who heard the previous year, the issue that we're dealing with is the prohibition of cutting the hair in a circular form around one's head, removing the hair around in the temple area, which is a violation of the Torah commandment not to cut off the corners of one's head. Well, head doesn't really have corners, but it's a reference to the hair that's oftentimes viewed as the side locks. That's when you see people that grow long hair in that area, sometimes referred to as payas. What is the halacha if one doesn't merely cut the hair around his head, leaving hair growing in the middle, but he shaves off all the hair of his head, and I will say a bowling pin style? That's called hakofas kol harosh. Is that prohibited? One thing is for sure, cutting the hair around, leaving a crop of hair in the middle of one's head, that would be prohibited. What about shaving off all of the head, the hair of one's head? So the Gemara opens with a long question, and you can see we've marked it with a long question marking. Lema hakofas kol harosh tanoihi. Can we say that the shaving of the entire head of hair is a Tanaic controversy as being prohibited or not? Ditonu Rabbanan. We have one source that starts with a quote, one word quote from a posuk dealing with a mitzora. And these, I just want to emphasize, are topics that we have dealt with in the past, so that certainly if you're a first-time listener, you'll find some points here maybe a little hard to grasp, but hopefully you're familiar with our previous shiurim. There's a pasuk that we've quoted on the side from Vayikra Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Tes, and it refers to the purification process of a mitzora. And it says, V'hoya bayom hashvi yigaleach es kol soru, reading from the pasuk on the side, Yigalech is called Se'oro, as Rosho, Vias Zikonoi, Vias Gabo Yiseino, Vias Kol Sari Yigalech, and the Pasuk continues beyond that. However, for our purposes, it says on the seventh day of purification, he cuts off all of his hair, and that means all of the hair growing on one's body, including the head. And then the Pasuk enumerates as Rosho, Vias Zikono, and we've pointed out in the past that would seem to be redundant. Once you say Kol Saro, I understand the hair of one's head and one's beard, etc., and so forth. So these words, many of the words in the Pasuk would appear to be extra. What is their purpose? So we have this source says Rosho, Ma Talmud Lomar. Why does Rosho have to be said when it was included in the phrase Kol Saro? So the response is, Lefi Shenemar, since there is a Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek, Yutes, which says, Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem, you shall not cut off the side locks of one's head, which Pas Roshchem, literally the corners of one's head, we referred to that before, the hair growing in the temple area, one shall not shave it off. Yachol, we continue at the top of Daf Nun Ches, Yachol Af Mitzora Cain? Does the prohibition of shaving around one's head apply to a Mitzora? Now the Mitzora is a person that has to remove all of his hair. So does the prohibition of we call it Baal Takif. Baal Takif is Lo Sakifu, the same term. We say, the prohibition, does that apply to a Mitzora? Talmud Lomar Roishoi. So you have this, we'll say this seemingly extra word that says it doesn't apply, does not apply to a Mitzora. He must remove all of the hair. The Torah giving license for him to do what would otherwise be prohibited to do. V'tanyo idoch roishoi. We quote again the same pasuk, the same word by the Mitzora, Ma Talmud Lomar. What do I need that word for? Lefi shenemar gabi nozir. It says regarding the nozir, tar lo yavor al rosho, that a razor shall not pass over his head. The prohibition of the nozir to shave his head. Yochol af nozir mitzora kein. Let us say a person in the midst of his nazirus experienced tzoras, and part of the laws of tzoras, as we've indicated, upon achieving, we'll say, purification, he must remove the hair on his body, including his head. So, a nozir who, in the midst of his nazirus, experiences tzoras and its departure, is he also prohibited in ta'ar lo yavor al rosho? Talmud Lomar Rosho. So therefore I have that extra word from Mitzora telling me that a Nozir Mitzora must remove the hair. In effect, if he was not a Mitzora, he would have been in violation of Tar Lo Yavor al Rosho. The Pasuk Rosho, according to a source number 2, tells me the Nozir Mitzora must do it, must remove the hair. So now we have two Tanaic sources. Both of them open with the same word, Rosho. The first source says that it tells me that a general Mitzora is entitled to, we'll say, violate the negative command. And the second source is referring to a Nozir Mitzora. So we have two different Tanaic sources, and they're clearly different from one another. The first source is giving an allowance for a regular Mitzora to, let's say, violate Baal Takif. And the second source is focused on a Nozir Mitzora, which would give us the feeling that if it wasn't for the fact that he was a Nozir, I wouldn't need the Pasuk of Rosho to give license for the complete head shaving. So what is the point of difference between these two sources? On the side of the Gemara you note a mivne, a structural note, a triangle appears. These are nisyonos lahasbir a hevdel bein shnei hamakoros shuvu liel. attempts to explain the difference between these two sources. So take a bird's eye view of our daf, as we always like to do with Gemara markings, and you'll notice there's an attempt over here, in the middle of the daf, you'll see, actually a couple lines later from here, another attempt, in the middle of daf, a third attempt to explain the difference. Now, the first attempt, of course, is part of our long question. My love, we continue in the Gemara, is it not so, Tanoihi, that the issue of complete hair shave as being a Torah prohibition is a machlokes tanoim? And how do you see that over here? Laman de Omar minozir. The second source that says that Rosho is licensed for the nozir mitzorah to shave his head indicates that a regular mitzorah doesn't need a pasuk to allow that. Why not? Because what he's doing isn't a problem. So the second source, Kosovar, Hakofas Kol Rosh Lo Shmo Hakofa, that the shaving of the entire head, in general, is not a problem. In other words, the Torah prohibition is only shaving the head around, leaving a crop growing from the middle of the head. Possibly like the Mohawk style haircut. As this recording is being made, many of the listeners might be familiar with that. That Mohawk style haircut is clearly prohibited for a Jew to take. If the Mohawk style haircut involves a very close razor-like shave of the head, on the removing all the hair from the sides of the head, leaving hair growing simply in the middle, that would be Baal Takif. But a complete, let's say, bowling pin style haircut, according to source number two, wouldn't be a problem. And therefore, the pasuk that's giving me license to violate something isn't a reference to a standard mitzorah. Because what is a standard mitzorah doing? He's removing all the hair from his body, including all the hair from his head. According to source number two, that's not a problem. So I don't need a pasuk to give me license for something that itself is permitted in the first place. So what is the pasuk doing according to source number two? It's giving me license, the word rosho, that extra word rosho by mitzorah is giving license for a nozir mitzorah. Now a nozir is not allowed to cut his, is not allowed to take haircuts, regardless of what kind of haircut. He's not allowed to take haircuts. Ah, but if he's a nozir mitzorah, if he's purifying himself from tzoras during his nazirus, the tzoras law preempts the nazirus restriction, and the Torah therefore is dictating he must remove his hair, contrary to standard nazirus halachas. But once again, I know we're repeating ourselves, once again, a standard mitzorah doesn't need license, according to number two, to shave all of his hair off, because hakufas kol harosh lo shmo hakuf is not a problem. V'chi osakra, and you can see we're using this double underline to highlight what the role of the pasuk is, therefore, according to that particular source, according to source number two. So what is the role of the pasuk? Lemidchi, to preempt, to push aside, es loisase ve'ase. You see, this we didn't mention before. When you're dealing with a nazir, we mentioned that a nazir is not allowed to shave his head. But in addition to that prohibition, there's also a positive command in the Torah called Kadosh Yihyeh, that he must experience sanctity. Kadosh Yihyeh, and for our purposes, Kedusha means separated from, something that you sanctify, you push aside for a specific holy purpose. In the case of a nazir, his hair is pushed aside, so to speak, from haircuts. It's Kadosh Yihyeh Gadel Se'ah Peroshay, is in order to prohibit the haircuts, there is a positive command in the Torah that his hair remains sanctified, so to speak. So in the case of a nazir, there are two mitzvahs. There's a negative command, lo yavor tar, and a positive command, kodesh yagadel peraseh roishai. So, how can a mitzora go ahead and shave off? Let me explain. A nazir mitzora, how can he go and shave off his hair? Is he not trying to fulfill a one positive command that the mitzora has? That's a mitzvah saseh, a positive command to supersede two commands. That's one versus two. On your own, you wouldn't have thought that the mitzora positive command can supersede the two commands that you have by the nazir. Then, what are the two commands? The loisasev loyavortar of the razor shall not pass over his head, and the positive command of kadoshia. So, without a specific scriptural reference that you have by nazir, the extra word rosho, I wouldn't have known that the nazir mitzora is to do the mitzora haircut. So I need the word rosho to tell me that the positive command of tzoraf's purification overrules two other commands that would be that would have otherwise been prohibited. In other, just to repeat this point again, usually two beats out one. But in this case, the one by Mitzora beats out the two commands that you have by the Nozir Mitzora, the Nozir who has two commands, one negative, Lo Yavor Tar, and one positive, Kodoshia. Ve'idoch Savar, that means the source number one who said Rosho, is used to tell me about a standard mitzora that he is to remove all his hair and thereby supersede the standard command of that which applies to all people, not to do what? Not to shave off all of one's hair from his head. So this opinion number one, Savar Hakofas Kol Harosh, Shmo Hakofa, that what a mitzora is doing, what a standard mitzora is doing, is something that, if he wasn't a mitzora, would have been prohibited. What is the mitzora doing? He's shaving his entire human body of all its hair, including a complete head hair removal. That would have been prohibited if not for the fact he's a mitzora. So in simple terms, Hakofas Kol HaRosh, according to opinion number one, is a problem, is prohibited. V'chiyasa Kra, according to source number one, what's the role of the pasuk? L'midchi lav greda. L'midchi once again means to supersede, to push off. Lav greda means a simple, singular, negative command. So that the positive command of Tzoras purification supersedes the negative command of Lo Sakifu Pas Roishchem, of we call Bal Takif. Later, the Gemara will have to investigate according to this opinion. All we see is that the Pasuk is allowing the positive command, Asei Doichaloisas, the positive command of Tzoras purification to supersede a single negative command. What about the Nozir Mitzora, according to this opinion? According to this opinion, we see license only for Asei Doiche Loisase. What about Asei being Doiche Loisase Ve'ase? That one versus two scenario. So we don't have that information yet, according to this opinion. Now you can see our long question finished at this point. What was the question? Can we say that the issue of Hakofas Kol Rosh is a machlokes tanoim? At this point, it would seem, yeah. According to source number two, Hakofas Kol Rosh is not prohibited. And according to source number one, Hakofas Kol Rosh for someone other than a Mitzora, for a standard individual, would yes be prohibited. Omar Rava. So here we have a new approach. That's why you have a triangle here. A new approach in dealing with these two Tanaic sources. And you can see this new approach is a rejection of our suggestion. We suggested that Hakofas Kolorosh is a machlokes Tanoim or Marova de Kulei Alma. Hakofas Kolorosh Loshmo Hakofa. Note how we've marked the Gemara. We dashed, underlined the Kulei Alma because this is the main point structurally. We suggested before that Hakofas Kolorosh was a machlokes Tanoim. Rava says, no, there is total agreement. That what? Hakofas kolorosh loishma hakofa. Complete bowling pin head shave is not a problem. The only problem from the Torah perspective would be the mohawk style haircut. Or the haircut, there's some certain idolatrous religions that shave the hair around their head, leaving a long type of ponytail growing out the middle of the head. That is certainly prohibited, but only that is prohibited, not a bowling pin bald head shave. Before we go further, take a look at the next triangle. There, the Gemara says, Ela de Kulei Alma Hakofas Kolorosh Shmo Hakofa. A very 180 degree turnaround in the third approach in dealing with these sources. According to the next triangle, the middle of the page, you see that there will be total agreement that the bowling pin style haircut is, yes, a problem. So in the meantime, we have Rava. So Rava says, as far as the sources above are concerned, there is agreement to Kulei Alma Hakofas Kolorosh Lo Shmo Hakofa. The complete head shave ordinarily would not be a problem. Well, if you say that ordinarily it wouldn't be a problem, so then of the two sources above, source number two is the one that makes more sense. It means it's easier to understand source number two, because what's happening in source number two? We're using the extra word from Tzoras and relating it to the case of a Nozir Mitzora. A standard Nozir has a real prohibition of taking haircuts. So I need a pasuk to allow the Nozir Mitzora to do that which a standard Nozir would not be allowed to do. According to source number one, though, when you tell me that the total head shave is not a problem, what do I need Rosho for to tell me that a Mitzora is allowed to do something that what? That other people wouldn't be allowed to, but other people would be allowed to do it, according to this approach. So we're saying that everyone agrees that the total head shave is not a problem. V'chi asa kra, the posuk according to the first source, kegoin shehekif ulebesof gileach. First source is telling me that we're saying that a Mitzora is allowed to shave off all his hair. What is he allowed to do, in fact? What the Gemara just said, he's allowed to shave his head around. And if you were to stop at that point, there you would have a problem. But the pasuk tells me he can do that. He can shave his head around, provided he goes on to shave off the rest of his hair growing in the middle of his head. So that it's a type of, we'll take, two-stage process, where in terms of how he's doing his hair shaving, he's first shaving around, and then he continues to shave off the rest. And the pasuk is telling me that a Mitzora would be allowed to do that. Why is he allowed to do that? Kevon de'ilu galchei b'chad zimno lo mechayiv. If he would have done it in one shave, removing all his hair in one shaving action, he would not have been guilty because of what we said, that Hakofas Kolorosh is mutter to begin with. When he opts to shave first around and then remove the hair growing in the middle of his head, nami lo mechayev. He's also not in violation. So the pasuk, according to Rava's explanation for source number one, is talking about a regular mitzora, and he's allowed to do the hair removal of a mitzora, whereby at the first stage he's actually doing something that the Torah would have prohibited, namely shaving around. The Gemara says that cannot be the pshat, that cannot be the explanation, because we in fact would not allow that. And why not? Umi kosav krohachi? Would the pasuk write something like that? In other words, is the Torah telling me that I'm allowed to do a procedure that I could have accomplished anyway through a permitted fashion? Because what are we saying? We're saying you're allowed to do a procedure in a prohibited fashion, even though there was a permitted way for you to have done it. Well, we're going to tell you now there's a rule that if you have two paths, one involves accomplishing the goal but using a prohibited method, when at the same time there was a permitted method to reach that same goal, we will not allow you to use the prohibited method. The only time we can entertain using a prohibited method based on some type of scriptural license is because you have no other option. But to activate scriptural license to proceed on a path that is prohibited when at the very same time there was a permitted path to choose, you cannot take advantage of some type of scriptural license to choose the method that is prohibited. Why not do it the mutter way? Now, we'll see this in the Gemara text. Once again, Umi Kosav Krohachi, would the Torah have given license to first shave around and then shave off the middle of the head? V'homer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish presents the rule that we just explained. Kol Mokom Sha'ata Moitze Asei V'loisase. Wherever you have a conflict between a positive command on the one hand and a negative command on the other hand, if there is a way for you to fulfill the positive command without violating the negative command, then great, then that's what you have to do. The imlav, if there is no other option to fulfill the positive command other than violating the negative command, then we say, Yavoi asei veyidche es loisase. We allow the positive command to supersede, preempt the negative command. But in the case of the Metzora, the standard Metzora, does he, his goal, his positive command is to remove all the hair on his head. That's his positive command. Achieve a bowling pin style haircut. Is the only way to do that by first shaving around? Not at all. You could first shave the middle of your head, and then in the final stages remove the side locks. And since that method will enable you to accomplish the Mitzora goal, Why in the world would we allow you to first shave around and only afterwards shave off the middle? That would be prohibited. And I can accomplish the Mitzora-style haircut without violating the negative command of Baal Takif. And as a result, you could not possibly say, as we suggested above, that the Rosho word gives license to a Mitzora to first shave around and then later remove the rest of the hair. That's just not what Rosho could be teaching us. Elo de kule almo hakofas kol haroish mo hakofa. So rather, it's as far as the sources above are concerned, the total hair removal, the bowling pin style haircut, is a problem, is prohibited in general. Ah, it's prohibited in general. So I therefore need the Rosho Posuk to tell me that if a person experiences Saras, he is allowed to do that which is otherwise prohibited. So as far as source number one is concerned, that makes perfect sense. And it makes so much sense where our question now is, according to source number two, he is using the Pasuk of Rosho to tell me about a Nozer Mitzora. Where does he know the basic halacha that a positive command supersedes a negative command? We have that right over here. You have the positive command of the Mitzora. A standard Mitzora, not a Nozer Mitzora, basic Mitzora to achieve purification, which involves total hair removal. And that will be at the expense of a negative command: do not shave off the sides of your hair. So, according to source number two, where does he know that basic idea? Positive command has the power of superseding a negative command. So that's what the Gemara has to explain now. Just to repeat ourselves, at this point, if you say the Kulei HaMakofas Kol Rosh Mo HaKofa, source number one that uses Rosho to tell me about a standard Mitzora doing his Mitzora haircut, that makes sense, because over there you have a positive, you need a Pasuk to give me license to supersede the negative command of Baal Takif. So the Gemara goes on and says, "Uman de moikim lekro lemitchi loisase vease." Source number two that said Rosho is dealing with a nozir mitzora, lav grei dominole. Where does he learn the basic idea that a positive command can supersede a negative command? You might want to say this in simplistic terms. According to source number two, he's saying that a positive command, the Mitzora purification, has the power of pushing off a positive and a negative. But before you get to that, you've got to establish that a positive command supersedes a negative command in general. How do you jump that step? So that's what the Gemara is here to answer. Yalif, source number two, will tell you this idea of positive command overruling. When they come into conflict, the positive will overrule the negative. Yalif mi gedilim. He learns it from the mitzvah of gedilim. Ah, you know what gedilim are? I don't blame you. It's not a common word. But you do know what tzitzis are. Gedilim ta'aseh lecha is a pasuk that is a reference to the making of tzitzis. In the Torah, that positive mitzvah appears immediately following a negative command: do not wear shatnez. Shatnez is fabric, is garments that mix wool and linen, that have wool and linen mixed together in them. So it's prohibited to have standard garments with wool, with a wool linen fabric combination. When, what does the Torah say? The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Lo Silba Shatnes. Vitanya, Lo Silba Shatnes, do not wear Shatnes. Shatnes is the mixture of wool and linen clothing. Vitanya, Lo Silba Shatnes, and Ha Gedilim Tasilacha Mehem. When you look in the Torah, as we just mentioned, you will see, first there's a warning, do not wear shatnez, and immediately following it, it says, and thou shalt make tzitzis. What the Torah is trying to tell you is that, in general, you should not wear shatnez. However, when it comes to the making of tzitzis, there you are allowed to combine wool and linen in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So that from there you see there's a negative command, do not wear wool linen combination. However, when it comes to the positive command of tzitzis, you're allowed to make tzitzis even though you might be violating shatnez. Positive, namely tzitzis, overpowers, supersedes negative lo silba shatnez. So once we said the author of source number 2 that spoke about Rosho telling the Nozir Mitzor to take his haircut, that source number 2 knows the basic idea of positive overruling negative from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Once he knows Asei Doichel Asis from tzitzis, he can go on to the next step, that an Asei is Doichel Lois Asei Ve'asei in the case of Mitzora. Mitzora, in the case of the Nozir Mitzora, his positive of Mitzora, purification, superseding the positive and negative commands that exist by the Nozir. Oman Denafka Le Meirosho, the one, that source number 1 above, the first diamond above, that source number 1 who learned Asei Doichalois Asa from the word Rosho, my time alone Nafkalei Megidilim, why doesn't he use Tzitzis as the source for that information? Omar Loch Lichidarova Hudasa. The Pasuk dealing with the Tzitzis is necessary for a teaching of Rava, which basically we're going to see shortly, which localizes the Pasuk by Tzitzis to a Tzitzis-related matter and not as a source for the general concept of Asei Doichaloi Saseh. De Rava Rami. Rava raises what appears to be a contradiction in the Psukim regarding Tzitzis. Ksiv v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof. It's a quote from the parsha of tzitzis that many of you are familiar with from Kriyas Shema. And from this we learn, hakonof min konof. That means that the tzitzis that you insert into the corners of your garment must be made of the same material as the garment itself. Uksiv. There's another pasuk, the one that we recited before, Tzemer upishtim yachdov, and the pasuk continues to say gedilim ta'aselecha, which would seem to be that when you make tzitzis, you make them of tzemer or pishtim, you make them of wool or linen, regardless of what the garment is made of. So that would seem to be a contradiction. On the one hand, the Pasuk in Bamidbar Tezvav says tzitzis must be made of the same material as the garment, and therefore if it's a cotton garment, you can't put woolen threads into it. It's not the same material. And yet the other Pasuk says semru pishtim yachtov gedilim ta'aselecha, which would indicate if you have a cotton garment, you can put in woolen threads as your tzitzis. The Gemara and Rava explains, Ha Ketzad, how are we to resolve this? As follows, Tzemer upishtim potrim bein b'minon bein shelo b'minon. Wool and linen, tzitzis strings, have the power to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis, literally exempt garments that are four corners, whether the garment is minon, is itself wool or linen, or other fabrics. So there's a special power to tzemer and pishtim. Now, shar minim, other materials, if you have, let's say, strings made of silk, silken strings will be suitable only for a silken garment. If you have cotton strings, the cotton strings will be suitable to serve as tzitzis for a cotton garment. That's beminon potrin. Shelo beminon ein potrin. Beminon means like fabric garment. Such strings of that same fabric will exempt. If it's a fabric garment made of fabric other than the strings, so those strings will not exempt the garment. Of course, unless, as we said before, they happen to be wool or linen strings. So now, Rava then uses the pasuk of Lo Sil B'Shatnez Semru Pishtim Yachtov G'dil Tasa L'cha to tell us a tzitzis-related halacha. That's what Rava does, and that too is what the diamond number one source that we saw at Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that's what that source who learned Asei Doicha Lo Yisase from the mitzvah of Tzoras, pushing aside Baal Takif, and why he didn't learn from the Tzitzis Pasuk, because source number one uses the Tzitzis Pasuk for Rava's law. The Gemara continues. You see, we're using a numbering scheme that always is referring back to those sources in diamonds. So diamond number one that used Rosho, Lelav Greda, to tell me that the Asei, Doiche Loisase, in a simple head-off situation, that's a poorly chosen pun, but in a simple situation of Asei versus Lo Saseh. What about the case of the Nozir, where you have an Asei versus an Asei v'lo Saseh? The Asi Asei v'dochias lo Saseh v'Asei menolan. Where will source number one learn the idea that the positive command of Tzoras, of Tzoras purification involving the hair shaving, that it can supersede a situation where you have a lo saseh v'aseh against it, like we saw in the case of the Nazir? Nafgalei mizikono. So the author of source number one will learn it from the extra word zikono that we also found in the case of Tzoras. Remember we said that the Pasuk tells the Metzora, remove all of your hair, and then it goes to enumerate different parts of the body. The Zekono is the beard, the facial hairs. Desanya, Zekono ma Talmud lomar. What is the purpose of the word Zekono in the case of the Metzora? And as we said, the Metzora is told already to remove all his body hairs. Why specify zikono, facial hairs, lefi shenemar, because, well, there's another pasuk elsewhere. It says, now note, this pasuk is from Vayikra Perek Chaf Aleph. That section of the Torah deals with laws pertaining to kohanim, and it says there, upaas zikonam lo yigalehu. There, without translating the pasuk literally, facial hairs shall not be shaven off. Yochol af kohen mitzora kain. Does the same restriction apply to a Kohen who happened to experience Tzoras? Talmud Lomar Zikono. The word Zikono in Vayikra Perek Yudale, dealing with the Mitzora, says that the Kohen Mitzora must shave off his facial hairs. And we have a little note on the star. It's very important to note this, that by the Kohen you have, in fact, a lo saseh that we said already, pasikon melo yagalechu. There is also a positive command, kedoshim yu, that the kohanim observe kedusha, kedusha being sanctity, and in this case, the kohen restrictions, when fulfilled, represent a fulfillment of this positive command. So we have then source number one, the diamond source number one that we saw at the beginning of this year. We'll learn the principle of asei doicha loisase vasei in the case of the mitzora from the case of the coin. By the way, in general, throughout the Torah, we don't allow an asei, a positive command, to supersede a, let's say, conflicting negative plus positive. One doesn't beat out two. But in the case of Mitzora, we're saying one beats out two. We continue. Uma demapik le l'roishe lase veloisase, source number two, who used the word rosho to tell me this idea that the positive command of Tzoras supersedes positive negative that you found by the Nazir. Leilef mi Zikono. Why not learn from Zikono? Like the, we just saw that the positive command Tzoras pushes off the positive and negative by Kahuna. The Gemara response. Note that we have a long response, taking you till the fourth line down from the top of Omid Beis. V'leta'amech, according to you that are asking on me, that I chose to learn Asei Dechol Asaseh from Nozir and not from the case of Kahuna, well, according to you, in asking this question, you apparently feel that the Kohen source is a strong basis for coming to the conclusion that Asei Doicha Lo Yisaseh Vaseh. Well, if you're so enthusiastic about the Kohen source, Dekai Malon Be'alma, you know, we have a general principle, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis. What do we hold in general? Deloy osi asei v'dochi lo yisaseh v'asei. We mentioned this a few minutes ago, that in the rest of the Torah, we don't find that a positive command can supersede a conflicting area where there's a positive and negative against it. Once again, deloy osi asei v'dochi lo yisaseh v'asei. Leilif mi kohen d'dochi. Why not use the case of the Kohen Mitzora as precedence for the rest of the Torah, that asei, on the one hand, can supersede a conflicting area where there's an asei and a los asei against it. Elo mikayin lo yalfinon. You know, you don't learn from Kohen to establish a general principle. Why not? Mal Kohen shekein lav sheino yishove bakol. There is a negative command by the Kohen, Pasikonim lo yigalechu. But when you're dealing with Kohanim are a unique, specific, subsection of Israel, of the Jewish people. Things that apply to Kohanim don't apply across the boards. For example, a Kohen is warned not to defile himself to the dead. That's not true with regard to people from the general population. In fact, there's quite a mitzvah, a commandment that's fulfilled by attending funerals and burying the dead, etc. But Kohanim cannot do that. That's called a lav, a negative command. Sheina sheva bakol. It's not across the boards. It's not a uniform prohibition. Therefore, it's a weaker type prohibition. And we cannot learn from that kind of area of lav sheina sheva bakol to apply it across the boards. Therefore, nozir mikohen nami lo yolif shekein lav sheina sheva bakol. The case of the nozir mitzora. Nozir is Nazirus is an area of law that applies to anybody. Anyone can be a Nozir. So the realm of Nozir Mitzora cannot be derived from the way the Torah views a Kohen Mitzora, because a Kohen Mitzora is an example of a Lav Sheina Sheva Bakol. Therefore, in order to establish that the Asei, the positive of Tzoras, will overrule the positive negative that you find by a Nozir, I have to find a Nozir source. I can't use a source that we find by kahuna. So with that, we understand why the Manda Omar that used Rosho doesn't use Zikono, which was representative of the Kohen source. We continue. Uman demoikim lahai roishoi benozir. According to source number 2 that used the word Rosho by Mitzora to tell me that a Nozir Mitzora is to follow the Tzoras purification process, which involves a positive pushing off a positive and negative. And we see then that the power of Tzoras, that it's Doiche Loisasevase, that applies across the boards. So according to source number 2 that said all of that, Lomali Zikano, what do I need the Zikano drusha for? What did Zikano supposedly represent? Well, up till now we thought it represents that a Kohen Mitzora shaves off all his head, allowing the Asay to Deuchel Loisasev Asay by Kahuna. But opinion number 2, who accomplishes that through Rosho, he doesn't need Zikono for that. In other words, the din of a Kohen Mitzora can be learned from the din of a Nozir Mitzora logically. You don't need a scriptural reference. So what does the word Zikono mean for opinion number 2? For Tanaic source number 2, diamond number 2 from above. Answer, Miboya Le Lichidisanya. He uses the word Zikono for something that we've learned extensively in the past, back on Daf Mem, to establish that the Tiglachas Mitzora, that the hair shaving that a Mitzora must do, is only with a razor, not a scissors, not a tweezers. That the Torah is commanding the Mitzora, we're allowing the Mitzora to do, when we say allow, we mean not only allow, but he must do that which otherwise would have been prohibited. We mentioned a point before with Reish Lakish, you don't have scriptural allowances to violate things if there is an alternative way to accomplish your goal without doing the violation. In this case, what we're saying is the Mitzora is going to be, as I say, allowed, but allowed means allowed and required to do the razor hair removal, and without the scriptural reference, that would have been prohibited. And furthermore, and as far as the Mitzora is concerned, there's no other way to accomplish the Tzoras hair removal other than through a razor. Because if there was another way, we wouldn't allow him to use the razor. So, if you're just to review this last point, according to opinion, we call diamond number 2 from before, that uses Rosho to tell me Asei Doicheloi Saseh by Nozir Mitzora, what does he do with the word Zikono? So we answer, Miboya Le Lichdesanya. He needs it for the following. And we simply preempted the introduced the Gemara by telling you he's going to teach us that the Mitzora hair removal must be done only with a razor. And what is the source? We have a parentheses section because of the Bach reading, so we're skipping down a couple lines. Upa'as zikonam lo yigalechu. This was a pasuk from Vayikra Perichov Aleph. We made reference to this pasuk before. The question is, Yochal af gilcho b'misporayim yechayev? When it says here that they shall not remove the facial hairs, does that mean not to remove it with a scissors as well, to cut one's facial hairs with a scissors? Is that also prohibited. Talmud Lomar, Veloi Sashchis. Now this Veloi Sashchis is a pasuk from Vayikra, Perek Yutes Pasuk Chav Zayin. We've included on the side of the Gemara. It says Lo Sakifu Pas Roishchem Velo Sashchis Es Pas Zekonecha. So the word Lo Sashchis means you shall not destroy the facial hairs. Well, in Lo Sashchis Yochol Likton B'Milka V'Ritni Chayav. If the Torah's prohibition is not to destroy facial hairs, does that include removal with a tweezers or a plane? Talmud Lomar, Upas Zikonam Lo Yigalechu. Here the word Yigalechu appears. So in Perek Chof Aleph, referring to the facial hair prohibition, you see the word Yigalechu. And in Vayikra Yutes, which also is a reference to facial hair removal, prohibition thereof, you see the word Sashris. We have ruled out scissors because scissors don't represent Hashchosa, Tashris. We've ruled out Likton and that's Milkan and Rehitni because of the word Yigalechu. So that what remains for us to discover is what in fact is prohibited. His scissors are not prohibited. Tweezers and planes are not prohibited. Ezu giluach sheyesh boi hashchasa. So then what kind of shaving has in it the element of hashchasa, of destruction? Havi omer zet ta'ar, the use of a razor. So now, with that having been said, facial hair removal in general is prohibited by using a razor blade using to shave one's facial hairs. And now we add the main point. The word zikono, that we found the extra word by Mitzora, the word zikono that appeared in Vayikra Perchof Yud David, that word tells me that a Metzora, when it comes to his facial hair removal, noticing the word zikono, that word, by the way, zokon, appeared in Vayikra Yotes, in Vayikra Chofalef, all the psukim that we've been citing till now regarding the prohibition of facial hair removal, the word zikono by the Metzora comes to tell me that he, the Metzora, must remove his hair through the method that otherwise, if he wasn't a Metzora, would have been forbidden. So what's the method that would have been forbidden? The razor blade. The Metzora, he must use the razor blade in his hair removal. Now, Uman demapik lei lahai roishoi lelav greda, according to source number one, who we saw quite a while ago, uses the word rosho to tell me that asay of mitzora is doicha the loisa asay of bal takif. Loma li lemichtav roshoi, for loma li lemichtav zikono. Wouldn't it have been enough for the Torah to write just the pasuk of Rosho? Because as we've seen till now, the word Rosho could be taken, as we saw, Ase Deichaloi Saseh, but the same Rosho could be taken to teach me Ase Deichaloi Saseh Ve'ase, as we saw source number two used the word by the Nazir Mitzora. So the word Rosho, as the Gemara goes on to say, Mashma Lemidchi Lav Greda, it has that mashmos, that implication. Umashma Lemidchi Loisase Vease, it also has that potential teaching of Asay of Mitzora superseding an Asay Vilos, like we saw in the case of the Nozer Mitzora. Hilchach Shokel. Shokel means it's balanced. The word Rosho can go either way. Hilchach Shokel hu, the Avol Shnehem. Both halachas, when you have a term in the Torah that can be used to go either this way or that way, and there's no more pressing reason to go one way over the other, we say, go both ways. This concept you can see in Gemaras elsewhere in the Shas and Bava Kama and Zvachim. You see on the side, there's a note where you find this in other places. So if you say that I'm going to use Rosho to teach me Aseh Doichel Aseh Gredo, and Aseh Doichel Vois Aseh Veaseh as well, what do I need the word Zekono for? Note that we're focusing this question on what we said was Manda Omar number one. As far as the other Tanaic source, Manda Omar number two, we asked, according to Manda Omar number two, that Rosho taught Aseh Doicholois Aseh Veaseh, and that opinion learned Aseh Doicholois Aseh Greda from the Tzitzis Pasuk. We explained what he does with Zikono. So right now our discussion is focusing on Manda Omar, the first of the Tanaic sources that we call Manda Omar number one, the first diamond. And the question once again is, what does he use the word Zikono for? The Gemara is going to answer, before we read it in the text, he's going to tell you that it's true that I have Rosho telling me Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh Veaseh, and that Pasuk featured the Nozir Mitzora. The word Zekono, we will say, refers to the Kohen Mitzora. We saw this at the bottom of Omid Aleph, and that Manda Omar number one introduced Zekono as being the source for Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh Veaseh by the Kohen. At this point in the Gemara, though, we're saying that Aseh of Mitzorah is Doicha Lois Aseh Veaseh. He will agree that you see that by the Nozir Mitzorah. That very same Manda Omar had told me at the bottom of Omid Aleph that Aseh Doicholois Aseh Aseh is learned from the case of the Kohen Mitzora. So what we really have on our hands, we have two topics of Mitzora, the rules of Saras, being Doicholois Aseh Velos Aseh, one in the realm of Nazir, and the other in the realm of Kohen. And here the Gemara will tell us, it's not enough that I have Aseh Doicholois Aseh Veaseh by the Nozir. I need to have the Kohen source as well. And here's the explanation. In the Gemara, Kohen mi Nozir lo yolif. I would not have been able to derive the rule concerning a Kohen Mitzorah from the rule of a Nozir Mitzorah. The rule of the Nozir Mitzorah, in fact, has a certain weakness to it that would not allow me to learn the rules concerning a Kohen. Because Sheken Yeshno B'She'ela, Nazirus is part of the realm of vows. Vows can be undone. You can't undo the rules of a Kohen, but the rules that apply to a Nazir are subject to voidance. We call She'ela means approaching a Torah sage and explaining your plight in observing Nazirus. He can absolve you from that. So Nazirus has a built-in weakness to it. And therefore, even if you tell me that a Nozir Mitzora is allowed to go through the Nozir purification process, I wouldn't know that by a Kohen. Therefore, I'm going to, even if I have Rosho that tells me that Saras purification supersedes the rules of Nozir, I wouldn't know that Mitzorah purification supersedes the laws that pertain to kahuna. Therefore, I need to have zikono. And the other way around as well, nozir mikayin lo yolif, to suggest stating mitzorah purification by kohen, and I would be able to derive nozir from that, I can't do that either, because lav shena shoveh bakol. The rules that apply to kahuna are kohen rules. The general topic of kahuna is kahuna, not something that is uniform to all of the Jewish people. And therefore, something that applies to kohen, I wouldn't necessarily apply it to things like a nozir, which are rules that apply to everybody. Okay, so now what do we have? We have kahuna, kohen mitzora, we have a nozir mitzora, and we see in these two areas, asay, the positive command of tzoras purification, superseding two realms of halacha, where we're allowing the positive to supersede, to preempt a positive plus negative. Well, couldn't I say that now we have precedent, and we of that asay doicha lois asev asay, and apply it to the rest of the Torah? No. Uba alma lo yalfinon minayu, and in general, I will not learn from both of these areas, mishum di'ika lemifrach kidamoran, because we can undo that attempt, as we've said already. The Kohen has a weakness to it, it's a lav shena sheva bakol. The Nazir has a weakness to it, that it's subject to She'elah, it can be absolved. There is a discussion in the Tosfos concerning a basic question that you would ask here in terms of Talmudic procedure you find throughout the Talmud that's called Sad HaShoveh. Why not create a common denominator between these two areas, the area of Kahuna and the area of Nazir, and say that even though each one is different, nevertheless, I see a common denominator that Asay of Tzoras is Doicha Asay Veloys Asay, and apply that, in fact, to the rest of the Torah? Why don't we say that over here? So that I'm going to leave unanswered, and those who want to research it can certainly look into the commentaries for such an answer. As we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. You notice we have a nosei / mivne heading. We have a diamond that appears. The diamond will highlight the names Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. When we get to Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to notice Roman numerals 1 and 2. There are two versions as to what Rabbi Yochanan says. The note on the side points out where you see the diamond featured. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The note says there's a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan b'mi shemekel kol gufo bitar. One who, the word mekal means to remove hairs, literally lighten the burden, lighten one's body burden of hairs. What if a person removes his body hairs with a razor? Is that something that one would be allowed to do? We're going to find some very interesting ideas in this sugya. And amongst the different ideas that we'll see is one's, let's say, bodily conduct, a man behaving like a woman and a woman behaving like a man will also be introduced later in the Gemara. Let's continue now in the Gemara text. Omar Rav, Mekal Odom Kol Gufo B'Tar. A person is allowed to remove his body hairs. When we speak about body hairs, we're not referring right now to facial hairs or side locks. That is a different discussion. Here we're dealing with, let's say, cosmetic procedures. A person might, for whatever reason, want to shave his body. Maybe just for convenience purposes, we'll just say from the shoulders down, so that we avoid the isurim of of Pasikonim lo yigalechu, and the problem of Pas Roshchem lo sakifu Pas Roshchem. To avoid those things, we'll talk in this particular sugya from shoulders down. I mentioned shoulders because from under the shoulders you already have armpit hairs, and then, of course, the rest of all areas where hair grows on the body. Rav says a person is allowed to use a razor, and there is no problem. And here you don't see this in the words of the Gemara, but what Rav is informing us is that there is no problem of... There's another pasuk in the Torah, Lo yulbash gever simlas isha. There's a negative command for a male, a Jewish male, to, well, literally put on the garments of a woman, but it would mean to adorn himself or approach his body hair like that of a woman. Now, so there's an assumption over here that that women are certainly allowed to shave body hairs. That's a womanly behavior from time immemorial, so that when the Torah was given, it was already understood that was how women conduct themselves. There's certain aspects of life that are givens. So Rav is telling us that this kind of, we'll say, cosmetic behavior on the part of a man is allowed, and it's not a problem of lo yulbash gever simlas isha, which is a Torah prohibition for a man to wear the garments of a woman. Well, we're going to challenge Rav. It says Hamavir Beisa Shechiu Beisa Erva Hare Ze Loike. One who removes the Beisa Shechiu armpit hairs, Beisa Erva pubic hairs, he is loike. He is subject to lashing. Now, lashing is a punishment that indicates you're dealing with a Torah level violation. The Gemara answers this isn't a problem for Rav. Ha betar, ha bemisparayim. The Tanaic source that says there's malchus, that's if you use a razor. Rav's halach of removing those hairs, that's bemisparayim. That's using scissors. But the Gemara, how can you say that Rav said Rav's din was using the use of scissors? For ha Rav nami betar komar. Notice we have a dot underlining. We have also little arrows to the side of the Gemara text. Look back at what Rav said. He said tar. Tar means a razor. So how can you say that in the defense of Rav, he was talking about his scissors when Rav spoke about a razor and allowing it? Rav says, no, that's not a problem. Ka'ain tar. Rav was speaking about scissors, but the use of scissors cutting very close to the skin surface. So cutting the hairs very close to the skin surface, using a scissors, giving a very close cut, so to speak, like a razor cut, but it's using a scissors. And that Rav allows, but Rav does not allow using a razor for body hair removal. Omar Rab Chiyo Bar Abba, Omar Rab Yochanan. Note, we have Roman numeral number one. There are two Lishonos of Rab Yochanan. Rab Yochanan is in a diamond because he too deals with this issue, like Rav. Now, I say like Rav, but be careful. He's arguing with Rav in our first presentation here. Hamavir Beisa Shechiu Beisa Erva Loike. Rabbi Yochanan says that he's subject to Malkus. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source says, Havora Seyar, Eino Medivrei Torah, Elo Medivrei Sofrim. Body hair removal is not a Torah prohibition. Hence, what we're saying is, there would be no lashing. Elo Medivrei Sofrim, it's a rabbinic prohibition. The Mefarshim, by the way, point out that you have two Tanaic sources that in and of themselves would seem to be clashing with one another. And often in the Shas, you would say you have a stira, the Raminu, you say you have a stira between sources. That's not the approach this Gemara takes. We're simply focusing on Rabbi Yochanan, who says body hair removal involves lashing, meaning Torah level prohibition, Tanaic source saying rabbinic prohibition. The Gemara answers, "My loike nami de ka'amar." Rabbi Yochanan's use of the word loike, mi de rabbonan. There is a concept known as makas mardus, literally lashings for rebelliousness. That's another term that refers to lashing that's administered through rabbinic authority, not Torah level authority. So Rabbi Yochanan's point is is consistent with the Tanaic source that we just read. We continue at the top of Daf Nuntes Omer Aleph. Iko di Amri, another version of Rabbi Yochanan. Omer Rabbi Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Hamavir beis hashechi ubeis ha'erva loike mishum lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Now here, it's going to be very hard to wiggle out of Rabbi Yochanan claiming he is telling you a din, a halacha of a rabbinic nature, when he says there is malchus for the hair, for a man, a male, to do body hair removal, and the Torah pasuk is cited, lo yilbash gever simlas isha, that a male shall not behave like a woman. Women remove body hairs. Men would be prohibited in practicing those body practices that are unique or specific to women. So Rabbi Yochanan, having said what he did, that the body hair removal on the part of a man is a Torah level violation. Meisvei, we now challenge him. He said, we have from a Tanaic source, Havora Seyar, Eino Midivrei Torah, Elo Midivrei Sofrim. Body hair removal is not a Torah level violation, it's rabbinic. Well, Hu Di Omar, Ki Hai Tana. Rabbi Yochanan is based on a different Tanaic authority. The Sanyo Hamavir Beis Hashechi Beis Erva. One who removes armpit hairs, pubic hairs, is in violation of lo yilbash gever simlas isha. So you have a Tanaic source that word for word matches that which Rabbi Yochanan said. V'tana kamo hay lo yilbash gever my dorish bay. The first opinion that said that body hair removal is only rabbinically prohibited, what does he derive from the pasuk of lo yilbash gever simlas isha? And I'm sure some of you are probably thinking, why are you bothering asking this question? The first opinion said that hair removal is only rabbinic. As far as the pasuk is concerned, it's telling me simply that a man should not put on the garments of a woman. That's what the translation indicates. Lo yilbash gever, a male shall not dress in simlas isha, the dresses of a woman. So why are you asking this question of my dorish bey? The answer is forthcoming, but before we get into the answer, let us note the pasuk itself. We have it written on the side of our marked Gemaras, Devarim, Perichov Beis Pasuk Hei. It reads, Lo ye kli gever al isha, velo yilbash gever simlas isha, ki toavas Hashem Elokecha kol oisei eile. The pasuk warns that kli gever, art of utensils or vessels of a man, shall not be upon a woman, and a man shall not wear the clothing of a woman. And there's a key expression, ki toavas. It mentions here that toavas, meaning it is an abomination. There is an abomination involved anyone who does these things. Now, the term abomination has great significance. Not every simple prohibition in the Torah is called an abomination. Things might be prohibited, but they don't necessarily represent a toeva. You find the word toeva in the context often of immorality. Now, that having been said, we turn to the Gemara text. Miboyele lichdetanya. Source number one that we saw just above will tell you that lo yeh kligever, the posuk of lo yilbash gever simlas isha is for the following information in this Tanaic source. We quote the posuk lo yeh kligever al isha ma talmud lomar. What is the Torah prohibiting? Im shelo yilbash ish simlas isha v'isha simlas ish. If all the pasuk is telling me is that men should not wear women's clothing and women should not wear men's clothing. Hare kvar nemar to'eva hi ve'ein kan to'eva. The pasuk says that there is an element of to'eva in what is being prohibited. And simple dressing up, that's not to'eva. That's not an abomination. Elo shelo yilbash. What is being proscribed here is ish simlas isha v'yeshev bein hanoshim. The Torah is saying that a man shall not put on a woman's garment and then sit amongst women. In other words, dress up as a woman and then put himself amongst women. V'isha simlas ish. Nor should shall a woman dress up as a man v'teshev bein hanoshim and then sit amongst men, and without too much need to activate imagination, one understands that this situation can easily lead to immorality. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov Omer, Minayin Shalotetse Isha Bekli Zayin LeMelchama. From where do we know that a woman shall not wear upon herself, or shall not carry out into war standard weaponry? Klei Zayin is a reference to standard weapons, rifles, guns. Might very well include bazookas and whatever else would be categorized as weaponry. So a woman shall not go into war with weaponry. Talmud Lomar lo yekli gever alisha. Rashi points out something that's very, very interesting. There's a story told in the book of Judges in Sefer Shoftim, where Yoel executed Sisera. Sisera was a general leading a battle against the Jewish people. She killed him. How did she kill him? She used a yosed. A yosed is a stake, S-T-A-K-E, a stake that holds down a tent. It's a very heavy metal peg with a relatively sharp end to it, or a tapered end to it. And she, after having him go to sleep, so she penetrated his skull with this yosed. Now, why did she use that? Why didn't she just simply take out a sword or a spear? Why did she use that? So Rashi says that it's because of this prohibition that a woman is not supposed to, handle in battle standard weaponry. We continue in the source. V'lo yilbash gever simlas isha, shelo yisakein ish betikune isha. We look at Rashi, shelo yisakein ish betikune isha, dahochi mitargaminon le. The targum, the Aramaic rendition of this pasuk is shelo yichol v'shelo yifarches bevigdei tzivoinim shel isha, that a man shall not apply cosmetics and dress himself like a woman. I would like to read the Rashi again, in this time using the Nuschas HaRivan. The Rashi we read before, Shelo Yisaken Ish B'Tikune Isha. According to Reb Lozer ben Yankov, what does V'lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha teach us? That he should not apply cosmetics or cosmetic procedures like that of a woman. Dahochi mitargaminon le, shelo yikhovo shelo yifarches. Yikhov has to do with a type of cosmetic. It's associated with a type of eye mascara. Yifarches has to do, in other places in the Shas, we've seen this referring to different types of hair treatments. And here the Rivan says, b'mine tzivoinim shel isha. Tzivonim are colors, different types of cosmetics, or different color, rouge and mascara and eyeshadow and all kinds of other things that women are probably much more expert in than I am. But notice he changes it to Minei Tzivonim, and my thinking is that Reb Lozman Yankov is focusing on the Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha as dealing, specifically with cosmetics and not merely with man putting on women's clothing. What one has to pause, and we're not going to do that in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, but what is the difference between Reb Elozer ben Yankov and the Tanakama's approach? The Tanakama, again, we're going to say something that's very superficial. The Tanakama mentioned that the mere wearing of women's clothing on the part of a man could not be the Torah's prohibition, because where do you see an element of to'eva in that? How is that considered an abomination? So there, if a man puts on women's clothing and sits amongst women, there you can see how we can lead to something abominable. Reb Elozer ben Yankov focuses on cosmetic approaches to men, that they should not follow that of a woman. Does that represent something more abominable than the mere putting on of clothing? Does Reb Elozer ben Yankov speak about a man then going and sitting amongst the women, or is this in and of itself considered abominable because you're dealing with something that's even more body related to women that a man is doing than merely slinging over himself women's clothing? With that having been said, let's go on in the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman Benozir Mutter. We look at the Tosfos. Benozir Mutter Lahavir Beis Hashechu Beis Erva. A Nozir who the Torah demands a hair shaving. Rav Nachman says that a Nozir would be allowed, not that he's obligated, that's not a Mitzorah type hair removal, but a Nozir would be allowed to remove armpit and pubic hairs. Tikosovar, Rav Nachman is of the opinion, Tosfos says, Achrei Shenozir Mavir Kol Seir Rosho, since he's removing all the hair from his head, Lo Choshiv Noi V'tikun L'Gabi Oiso Ish L'Avir Beis HaShechi Beis Erva. For him to continue removing the rest of his body hairs, since as a Nozir he has to remove all the head hairs, these would not be considered, cosmetic, a violation of, tikkunim. It's not considered making himself look more pleasant. The Gemara, though, goes on to say, the less hilchus kavosei, the halacha does not follow Rav Nachman, it is prohibited for Nozir as well. We continue. Omru le Rabbona Rav Shimon bar Abba. The rabbis told Rav Shimon bar Abba, Chazino le Rav Yochanan the less le. We notice Rav Yochanan doesn't have any armpit hairs. Omar Lahon, Rav Shimon bar Abba said, you can relax. You don't have to suspect Rabbi Yochanan of doing something problematic. Machma zikna nashu. Because of his age, he was elderly, these hairs fell out. Hahu de ischayev negido kamei de Rabbi Ami. There was a person, a man, that was to be punished by negido, lashings. And the case came to Rabbi Ami. In applying lashings, so clothing, upper body clothing are removed, and igloi beis hashechi, his armpit became revealed, chasid lo miglach, and it was seen that this offender's armpit hairs were in place. He hadn't shaven his armpit hairs. Omer lahon Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, shivkuha, leave this man be. In other words, spare him of the malchus. Dein min chavraya hu. This man is literally one of us. In other words, this man, the Gemara doesn't tell us why he was subject to malchus. We don't We don't have to assume necessarily that it's Malkus because he violated some type of Torah precept. We've seen elsewhere that Malkus can be administered even for rabbinic type violations. That is something to look into on the side. But for our purposes, here you see that Rabbi Ami was, we'll say, impressed with this individual in that he observed this law. Namely, he did not remove his armpit hairs. And that was enough to convince Rabbi Ami that this guy couldn't be such a bad chap, and spare him because he is one of us. He is one of us who observes halacha. On the side, we have a double underline featured under the Mivneh heading, where the phrase Ba Minei Rav Mirpchia is featured. You see two questions that Rav presents to Rabchia in our topic. Ba Minei Rav Me Rabchia. Rav asks of Rabchia, Mahu Ligaleach. Can I use a scissors for armpit hair removal? Omar Lei. Reb Chia says back, Bar Pachti. Bar Pachti is an expression meaning son of Talmud Chacham. Or you could say wise one. Zman Yesh Lo. When Rav asked the question, he asked, can I cut off the armpit hairs? Because if I leave them, they're going to grow and they're going to... they're going to eventually bother me. We have to just back up a bit. I made a mistake in the reading. I skipped some words. So we go back to the double underline. Ba minei rav mirabchia, mahu ligaleach. Rav asks, can I, following the Rashi explanation and the second explanation you find in the Tosfos, from the Baal Ochos Gedolos, can I use a scissors to cut the armpit hairs? Omar lei oser. So Rav Chia says, no, it is prohibited. Omar lei v'ha ka godal. But it's going to grow, and if it gets too long, it's going to then start bothering me. I'm going to have tsar from it. So I'm asking not to be. I'm not asking for, let's say, for cosmetic reasons that would be maybe questionable. But it's going to bother me. Omar lei. So Reb Chia says, Bar Pachti, son of Talmud Chacham, Zman Yeshlo. There is a limit to how long armpit hair grows. They're not like facial hairs that grow and grow. If you don't trim the beard, it will grow very long. Not so with regard to armpit hairs. Kol zman shu godel, no share. It grows, reaches a certain point of length, and they fall out. So if your concern is that they will, if they keep growing, they're going to mitzayer you, they're going to cause you discomfort, you don't have to worry about that. There's a Tosfos that we'd like to look at together, you see it's four lines from the very bottom of the Tosfos commentary, V'ha'ka Godil, V'ha'il V'sofa Ligdal Tzaroso, since it's eventually going to grow and cause me discomfort, Af Kishigachenu Ein Zekori Tikun V'noi, even when he cuts it off now, it wouldn't be considered some type of beautification. The only concern he has, and the only motivation for him to cut it off, is to save himself from the eventual discomfort. Next Tosfos says, Gvul Yeshlo, Shenu Godel V'Holech Kishir Rosh, Kaseyar HaRosh, V'Leko Tzara. It's not going to ever come to the situation of Tzar. Mashma, kishein adam is kavein lenoi, eloli notzel, the less be mishum kli gever. The Tosfos observes, therefore, that where one's motivation for whatever behavior, in this case the cutting off of hairs, is not for some type of beautification, but it's simply to avoid discomfort, there is no prohibition of the pasuk we made reference to before of Lo Yia Kli Gever Al Isha V'Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. V'im Kain, now Tosfos continues and concludes, HaMestakel B'Mara, one who looks into a mirror. Now, here there's a certain assumption that looking in mirrors is something that's characteristic of women. Women are often or constantly looking to, into mirrors to see how they look. That's a, we'll say, a womanly behavior, looking in mirrors. Therefore, one who looks into a mirror, kadesh le'achbo batzmo, let's say one is cutting his own hair, or he's shaving in a permitted fashion, and he wants to avoid hurting himself. Shari, under those circumstances, it would be allowed for a man as well to look into a mirror. V'chein omer haraf sherabah Rav Shmuel mi'avira hoya mistapir b'mara. And here you have testimony from the Baalei Tosfos that he used to take a haircut in the presence of a mirror, and is using a mirror. So now we turn back to the Gemara. Bomine Rav Mirabchia. Mahu Lochuch. Lochuch is a procedure of, let's say, scratching oneself. Rashi, I should say, Tosfos points out, and we look at together at the Tosfos at the bottom. He says, Mahu Lochuch Lishachich, Kede Lahashir Seir Beisashechi Beisever. He's scratching or rubbing himself in order to remove armpit hairs or pubic hairs. So now we go back to the Gemara. Is it mutter to lochuch? Amar leh, Sorbchia says, usser, it is prohibited. Bevigdo mahu, using, let's say, rubbing oneself using his garment, not directly with his fingernails, but using a garment. So he says, amar leh, mutter. The Gemara continues with a second version, Iko de Amri, Bo Mine Betfila Bevigdo Mai. The question was rather, let us say someone is in the midst of davening, in the midst of prayer, can he rub himself with his garment so that, Rashi says, so that lice fall away from him, and he doesn't actually touch his flesh. So the answer for, that's forthcoming, Amale, Usser. So he says, no, that would not be allowed. And the Gemara, though, says, V'les hilchisa kavose. The halacha is not like that restrictive ruling. And we look at the end of the Rashi, Amale Osir Vilas Hilchus Kavase, Mishum de Kevon de Eno no Gabiv Soro, since he's not in direct contact with his flesh, Mutu Lochuch, it is allowed for one to rub himself. Whereas using your fingers directly, and certainly in the context of prayer, to scratch yourself in the for the purpose of removing lice, using, again, direct flesh contact, that would be prohibited. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.